reading from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, to the choir master, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Father, we just come to you this morning, recognizing who you are and what you've done for us, your love for us, your grace and your mercy given to us freely, even though we don't deserve it. We just thank you for that, Lord. We hope that you would bless this time. Let us hear your voice. Let us feel your presence. Lord, continue to guide us and lead us and save us from ourselves. Because ultimately it is you that we should glorify and you that we should follow and look up to, and no one else and nothing else. So Lord, we just give this time to you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Man, I missed you guys last week. I was in Oregon. I have to tell you, though, I didn't miss the weather because the high was 80. Literally, at one point, Tara had to go out of the shade because she was too cold at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I wish I could bring the weather here. Right? Like God's air conditioning for the whole state there, for here. But man, I missed you guys last week. I had a chance last week to go to Overcomer Church in Seattle. I went up there to go to my niece's wedding. But we had a chance to go to a new plant church up there. And it's really fun to go as like a first-time visitor to a church. So if you're a first-time visitor, welcome. I hope the people around you are super nice to you and things like that. It's just a different experience going to church when nobody knows you. You're just the guy with weird yellow hair. Right, in Oregon, right? They don't know why, they have no clue why, and I haven't cut it off yet because secretly I wish I could just have this all the time, different colors and stuff like that. I know, I'll be back to the gray next week, but man, I am just excited to be here to talk to you about what God has been teaching me. It was really awesome up in Oregon to be able to sit outside for hours and not overheat, but just sit outside for hours with the Word of God, just praying for you, praying for our church, looking at stuff we're going to learn in the fall as we continue in the book of Exodus, just all these sort of things just stirring up. It was a beautiful thing, and one of the things that kept coming to my mind when I was praying for us was our mission statement, and many times you can come to church, and you've seen this on the wall many, many times before, but not even realize what it says, but you know, our mission statement for our church, our goal for you as a church body is that we will help you in this idea of loving God and transforming lives by following Jesus, right? When we show up on Sunday morning, this is what we're doing. We're loving God. We're praising him. We're singing him. He is worthy of our praise. Every breath that we breathe should be a praise to him. And so this is with celebration time, right? We're coming to celebrate what Christ has done for us and how good he is. And the transforming lives, that's really what the church is about. How can we help you walk down this path that God has for your life? And the last part, by following Jesus, that's your part. I can't make you follow Jesus. It's your part, day by day, step by step, step by step, going to follow Jesus, right, as you walk with him. And so this middle section, the transforming lives, is really what the church is all about. How do we help you in this idea of transforming life? And so I automatically went to Acts chapter 2. Turn there with me if you have your word. In Acts chapter 2, we have the birth of the church, right? The Pentecost has just happened. The Holy Spirit has just happened. And the Jesus movement went from this small little thing of these devoted followers of Jesus to 3,000 people coming to know the Lord in like one sermon. Good sermon, right? And so all these people, so what do they do? Like, how do they change from this old life to this new life? And here's what it says starting in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. If you want to have a transformed life, you have to devote yourself to the Word of God. You've just got to decide in your heart and mind then, this is the truth, and I'm going to live by this book. Even though the world may not agree with it, or other people might think that means something different, that we're going to say, hey, this book, I'm devoting myself to the teachings of the apostles, disciples of Jesus that are found in the Bible, right? Here's the second part. And they fellowshipped. Not this church fellowship. They fellowship. They like to meet together, aka they love to one another. When people had needs, they were selling their stuff and giving it to them. They were just meeting the needs of one another. They were fellowshipping together. They were in path group together. They lived life together. They worked together. They were fellowshipping together. And the next one, and the breaking of bread. Now, I'm loving this one. I love to eat, okay? But this isn't what it just means, that we should eat together. It means they were breaking bread, purposely recognizing Lord's Supper. That every time that they broke that loaf in half, they were thinking about the body of Christ and what Christ had done. So they were remembering. They were thankful. And that moment by moment when we're remembering and we're thankful for God, then we have an opportunity to celebrate Him. And then the next one is and prayer. And this is one of the areas of the church and many of us, the areas of our life that is one of the weakest, is this idea of prayer. And so this is why every year we do a 3-week series on prayer right before the school year starts, right before the fall begins, so we can get our hearts and our minds reoriented to prayer and communication with God. If you want to say, hey, we're having a really great event this Saturday, it's a prayer event, guess what? Nobody comes. Because for some reason, prayer in our life is one of those lower tier things when it actually should be one of the things that we come to and think about often. So we're going to study that. We're going to dive in and look at it. There's one more thing that happens in these verses, though. It's down in verse 46. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. Don't forget to come together. There's nothing like singing praises together, is there? Like, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, okay? I missed Jonathan Bickham so much last week. Big heart, all right? I missed you, all right? I mean, they were great. The plant church was great. They really loved the drums. They were really loud. But I was missing my brother. He does such an amazing job with worship and bringing us to the Lord. And you may not even, maybe we take it for granted sometimes because we're here and they do it every week. But that team does an amazing job. And when I was gone, I'm telling you, I missed them. I listened in, right? But it's not the same as being together. Not the same as being up front and getting to hear all of y'all sing. The Ingans got some good voices behind me. Right? They were singing loud. Maybe it was the Cherries, I don't know. But somebody was singing loud. It was beautiful to be together. Don't miss being together. Life will get busy. You're going to be tired after Saturday night, and you're going to be like, do I really want to wake up? Don't worry. We have an 11:30 service if you miss this one, okay? We have all the services, but make it a priority. Meet together, okay? So we're going to kind of mesh together the summer and the Psalms with prayer in starting in Psalm 40. So turn back to Psalm 40. That's going to be our main text for today. And we're going to talk about and focus on prayer. Okay, here's what it says in verse 1. To the choir master, a psalm of David. This is another psalm of David. We don't know exactly when this was written. Some people think it was written right before he was coronated as the king, finally. Some people think it was right before the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem, mostly because the end of this psalm, verses 13 through 17, are almost exact copy of Psalm 70. There's some homework for you. Compare Psalm 70 with the end of Psalm 40. You're going to see almost the exact prayer. The only difference is they use Elohim and Yahweh in a few different places interchangeably. But the exact same text in the Hebrew when you begin to look at it there, right? And so we know David is writing this at some point describing his journey with the Lord. And here's what it says in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. Now, last week, Chad spent the entire sermon in Psalm 27 talking about what it meant for us to wait on the Lord. And the kind of focal verse for me when I was listening to Chad on the live stream was verse 14. Right? So in Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord, be strong." Right? Let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like to wait? About the same amount as first service, right? Like you drive up to Chick-fil-A, right? And that line is a little bit too long. And you're like, see ya, right? You purposely don't go to Whataburger because Whataburger's line, they're slow, right? How many of y'all, your Wi-Fi isn't working? You're like, reload, hit the X. We don't like to wait, right? And in this verse, it gives us two keys to us learning how to wait. Here's the first key. We have to be strong in our spirit. We have to have strength of spirit. It means that we have to overcome our desire to want to hurry and want to rush and be busy by the power of our spirit. And this is what Chad talked about last week, letting the Bible be that reminder of what it means to be strong. In fact, David had to do this. If you look back at 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, I believe it is, it talks about how David had to strengthen himself because everybody was against him. He was so distressed, everybody was wanting to kill him. They says they were bitter in their soul towards David. And it says at the very end, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Even though everybody was against him, he turned into the Lord and he strengthened himself through the word of God, through the faithfulness of God, through God's mercy for him. He strengthened. He was talking to himself. He was working through that. And that's what Chad was encouraging us to do last week, is to be strong in spirit. And the second part is we need to be strong in our heart. We need to take courage, right? Meaning courage means that we have to step past what we normally would do, right? Courage, those emotions, that fear that stirs up inside of us, we have to take courage. For example, when you go out to eat after this, it doesn't take courage to order enchiladas at the Texican later. It doesn't take courage to do that because when you order it, they're supposed to bring it to you, and then you pay for it. That's just what happens. It takes courage to tell your neighbor about Jesus. It takes courage to stand up for what is right, even if everybody else in the world thinks it's wrong. It takes courage. We have to overcome our fear, our anxiety, the things, the stress that's on us, the weight of the world. We have to overcome that, overcome our emotions, and have courage, right? So that's how, if you want to wait on the Lord, you have to be strong in spirit. And you have to take courage, okay? So that's what he's talking about here. I waited patiently, patience, for the Lord. And he inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. So this is an incredible thought. Do you realize that God actually wants to listen to you? It says right here that he inclined to me and heard my cry. This word inclined means he stretched out. He pitched a tent to listen to David. Like he literally sat down. If I was going to go listen to Ross, I might go sit by him, look him in the eye, and have a conversation with him. Isn't it important how people listen to you? Like, for example, have you gone out to eat with someone and they took their phone out and they put it on the thing? Whoop, there it went. And they put it on the table? How'd that make you feel? Like, if I went up to Ross and I was talking to him, like, hey, Ross, how's it going? Yeah, man, so thanks for texting me this week. You know, how does that feel? Does it feel like I'm listening to you? No, right? In fact, how would it be if I was in the middle of a sermon and I got a call? I'm like, okay, guys, hold on a second. I got to take this real quick. And I took a call in the middle of the sermon. What would that say? That you are less important than the call that's on the phone, right? It's important how we listen to one another. Now, back in the day, it used to be, husbands, you can't watch the football game and talk to your wife. Right, that's the way it used to be back in the day. Now, is you can't have your phone out, face up, and listen because of the notifications, the distractions. It's meant to draw you in. God wants to listen to you. He's not distracted with having to run the whole world, and he maybe kind of listens in on your conversation. He turns, he inclines, he pitches a tent and says, hey, let's sit down. And let's talk. Have you thought about the God of the universe wanting to have a conversation with you? Have you thought about how you listen to the Lord? Do you pitch a tent and listen to the Lord? Or do you kind of multitask him? And so prayer has to be one of those things that we intentionally spend time and listen to the Lord. And what I think is incredible about this, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. But look at verse 2. Look where he's at in this situation. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. That he was waiting for the Lord even when things weren't going well. Even when he's being chased cave to cave, even when the things of the world seem to be falling apart, he's still willing to wait on the Lord to pick him up and to set him on the solid rock. He's still waiting. To give you a picture of what David might have been thinking when he said this idea of miry bog, turn to Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, the first three verses describe this kind of mire that David sees him in. It's another psalm of David, Psalm 69. It says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out and my throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." Have you ever felt like you're drowning? The situations that you're in just feel like they're overwhelming you. You're stuck in the mud. Every step is like effort and unsure. You can still wait on the Lord. You can still wait patiently for him. That is so hard. But here's the thing. When we wait upon the Lord, he will pick us up. He'll put us on the solid rock. In fact, Luke chapter 6 talks about building your house on the rock, not on the sand. We talked about this when we went to youth camp. I had a chance to teach on Luke chapter 6. And what's so interesting about that passage is it wasn't just that they were foolish to build their house on the sand. What they had to do, and this is what Luke 6 says, is they had to dig down to find the rock. And what happens to us in our relationship is not just that we're foolish, is that sometimes we're lazy. We're too lazy to really dig in and get down to the solid foundation, to find stuff in our heart that's been there for a while that's causing us to be unsteady and double-minded, and getting rid of that stuff so we can build our foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And what I love about the youth camp theme, and it's a great theme for us as well, we build from here. It doesn't matter what it was built on before. Let's dig down, let's find the rock, and let's start rebuilding from here, forgetting what's behind and pressing on towards what's ahead so that we can have and meet the heavenly call that Christ has for us. All right, so even if you're in the miry bog, right, you're stuck in it, you still have a hope, even if you're waiting on the Lord. Look what he says in verse 3, because this is like from the miry pit, he put his feet on the rock, and here's what he says. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You realize that our song of praise will bring people to Jesus. The way that you present Jesus to the world will bring people to Jesus. How many of y'all like to sing? Anybody? Okay. How many are good at singing? Yes. Okay, a couple of us. Even if we like to sing, you say, what if we went into the world and we sang a new song? You know, when you sing a new song, when John then introduces a new song, the first week we're a little hesitant, aren't we? We're kind of a little like, right, we come out a little late on some things, or some of us come in early and we're way early, right? But we kind of learn it. But as you learn the new song, you begin to get comfortable. That song, A Thousand Names, right? That's kind of our theme song with summer. The first time we sang it, didn't know so much. Now, whoop, belt it out, right? God's given you a new song to go into the world and talk about him. And that new song, that excitement that you have, will help other people come to know Jesus. Let me ask you this. When you present your Christian faith in the world, is it from a place of joy? Are you excited about what God has done in your life and what he is doing in your life? When you present that to other people, is it like, it's just so hard to follow Jesus? Whew. Man, following Jesus is just, it's just hard. Who wants to go do that? Right? But if there's joy, if we say, man, did you know who I was before I had Jesus? And now look at what has happened after I have Jesus. Whoa, you should have seen the old me. You should have seen what that guy was caught up in and how stupid he was and all these things. But now look at what God has done. Look at what God has done from this is the new song that we have. If we're willing to go into the world and sing a new song. And then he says this in verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. How many of us want to be blessed? If you want to be blessed, hashtag blessed, if you want to be blessed, put your trust in the Lord. And this is where prayer comes in. Prayer is all about trust. Do you trust God? Because if we're honest, here are the two struggles that we have with prayer. All right, if we're willing to be honest, and this is a place we can be honest, okay? If we're willing to be honest about our prayer life, here's the two areas we struggle in. Number one, we struggle in our prayer life to trust God when he says no. That when God says, no, I'm not going to give you that promotion, do you trust God? When God says, no, I'm not going to heal that broken relationship, okay, I trust you, Lord. When he says, no, I'm not going to give you a pay raise. You're going to learn to live on what you have. Lord, I'm praying for my daily bread. Are we really willing to trust God when he says no? And here's the second one. Are we willing, and this is our struggle, to wait on the Lord instead of trying to do it on our own strength? I mean, look at David, right? David was anointed king as a teenager. He waited 15 years after being on the run, after killing Goliath. I mean, 15 years he waited until he became the king. Are you willing to wait 15 years for God to answer your prayer? We hardly can wait 15 minutes. Are we willing to wait on the Lord and trust him in that process? Look at Abraham. God promised him, Abraham, you're going to have a son, and you're going to have descendants like this, the sand of the seashore, like the stars of the sky. And he had to wait 25 years. And in the middle, he decided to do it on his own strength with Hagar and Ishmael. And how did that go? Not well. We have a tendency to ask the proud, to ask the famous, to ask the rich to try to solve our problems for us instead of trusting the Lord in the process of what he's taken us through. We're just in such a rush. It's hard to wait on the Lord. It's hard to wait for his timing. But I'm going to tell you, God's timing is better than our timing. God's timing, putting us in the right position at the right time, then we'll be blessed. Rushing in when we're not ready will cause destruction. So wait on the Lord. This is David's encouragement to us. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust. All right, look at verse 5. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Here's the first challenge that we see in this psalm. Right, he's telling everyone, I went out and I proclaimed it to everybody, what God had done for me. I told everyone, everybody came into contact with me, you know what God has done for me? Do you know how amazing Jesus is? And this is our challenge. Do you tell other people about Jesus? And I'm not talking about just presenting the gospel to them. Do you tell them of what he has done for you? Do you tell about how good he is? And what David is saying here, like if we really were to look at it, man, God has done more than we could even tell. I mean, look around the room. The stories that are in this room of God's faithfulness, his answer to prayer, is incredible. I know a lot of them, and I'm praising the Lord. If you knew half the stories of the people that are in this room, you would be amazed, blown away by how faithful God is. How incredible God's saving people from suicide, from depression, from all, I mean, just incredible stories that are all around us. This is why we tell our story, because it brings glory to Jesus, right? And this is what David's saying, I proclaim and I tell them, yet there are more than can be told. And verse 6 through 8 is our next challenge. Look what it says. In sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offerings you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come, and in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, Oh my God, your law is within my heart. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And we see this in David's life. The reason that David is anointed king is because in 1 Samuel 15, we see Saul not being obedient as the king, and Samuel saying, obedience is better than sacrifice. Your kingdom is going to be taken away from you. Do you realize that it's better to obey than to sacrifice later? I know there's a common phrase like, ask for forgiveness, not permission, right? But he's saying it's better to obey than sacrifice. But this verse takes it even further. Do you delight in obedience? Woo! I'm hitting you hard right here. Do you delight in obeying the Lord? Does it bring you joy to give up the things of the world for him? Like, I talk to youth about this. Is it a joyful thing that you don't have sex before marriage? Like, I'm so excited. I'm not going to have sex before marriage. Woo! Is that the normal attitude of the people in the world? Or they feel like God's holding back something from me? No, God has a better plan for you. More joy, more excitement than you could even imagine, because inside of that relationship is better, right? Man, I can't wait to just give up pornography, drugs, all these different things for the Lord. I'm so excited about giving this up. Are you excited for me? Woo! Or we think, oh no, God wants me to give up this? And what? He's just taking all these things away from me. No, he's making you free. He's setting you up to be free because Jesus' way is better. Do we believe that? And we just sang a song. I know maybe some of us just sung it because it was on the screen, but more of you means less of me. Take a little bit. You got to think about this. Did you mean it? Woo! Lord, take everything from me if that means I get to know you more. Take my house away. Make me live on the street. Take my car away from me. Take away friends that aren't leading me towards Jesus. Tough one. Do we delight in doing his will, even if his will is hard? Because suffering produces endurance, character, hope, right? God's process, the way that he is doing things is better. Do we trust him? And this is really the idea of what we're talking about. Prayer is the exercise of trust and dependence on him. We pray because he is the one who can make a difference more than we can. And this is the challenge. This is the challenge that we see David going through in these verses. Like, I'm waiting on you, Lord. It's taken a while. Saul's still chasing me. You're still miraculously delivering me, but I'm still trusting in you at this point. Look what it says in verse 9. The story continues. I have told the glad news of deliverance. This word deliverance is actually the word righteousness, right? Deliverance is the right acting of God towards me, right? So I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness in your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. I'm not holding back. I'm sharing about my life. In fact, if you've been to our men's Bible study, it's a beautiful thing to see men in small groups sharing about their life. And in my group, when people share, we're not like, can you go to another group? That's weird, right? Our love increases for them as they share about their life. As you share your story about what God has done for you, it increases the love that we have for one another. Why would we hold back God's story? Because we're ashamed of our sin? But so many times, guys, so many times when you share your sin and how God has delivered you, you're going to realize you weren't alone in that sin. Beautiful thing of somebody sharing their story, and guess what? Somebody in our group had gone through the same exact thing. They're just further along, and those two guys are meeting for discipleship now. That's the beauty of sharing our story. You realize you're not alone. You realize other people have walked through what you're walking through, and they can help you in that journey. That's a beautiful thing. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Isn't that beautiful? Like, you can't run out of grace. Your sin that keeps getting entangled in our life, we keep doing what we don't want to do. God's grace is sufficient. It still covers us. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. They're the fuel in your tank is his steadfast love, his mercy, his faithfulness. For evils have encompassed me beyond measure. Sometimes the evil in your life comes from the outside, but then it says, my iniquities have overtaken me. Sometimes the evil plans come from the inside. Our own desires raise up and cause us to sin, and that sin eventually causes death. So whether it's from the outside or from the inside, his mercy and steadfast love will cover us. I cannot see, for there are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. But be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Lord, let it be pleasing to you to rescue me from the miry bog, from the pit of destruction. Lord, let it please you to rescue me. And these verses 13 through 17 are what we find in Psalm 70. The only differences are one of them uses Elohim and one of them uses Yahweh when they begin to describe those. But remember, look at that at home. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those who turn back be brought to dishonor, who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame, who say to me, aha, aha. Have you ever noticed that? That people in the world are kind of excited when we fail. The people that we talk to about Jesus, they might be the kind of people that look at you and be like, oh, yeah, I know that Judy lady. Woo! Let me tell you some stories about Judy. By the way, Judy's the sweetest person ever. That's why I could pick on her, right? What if you had people in the world that were just waiting for you to fall? And don't we have that kind of world? Like, as soon as someone's doing something dangerous, what do? They get their phone out to video it, not always to see if you make it, right? To kind of hope you don't, right? How many fails videos are on the internet right now? Right, of people trying to do a cool trick and like smashing. No one was hurt in this production, right? People kind of like to see people fail. And when you sing a new song, when you talk about how great Jesus is, there are going to be people in the world that just can't wait for you to mess up. And they're going to point their finger at you and go, aha, I knew you were a hypocrite. I knew it. And you're like, I knew I was a hypocrite. I knew that I'm a sinner. It's not built upon me. It's built upon Jesus. Right? If we have people following us, guys, we're going to go off the side of a cliff. Who should they follow? Jesus, right? We're just helping to bring them, hey, let me introduce you to my friend, Jesus. Follow him. That's who I'm trying to follow. I'm going to get lost sometimes, but follow him, right? And that's the encouragement here, is that he's telling them, hey, Lord, people are going to say, aha, but eventually judgment is going to come. Eventually Christ is going to return. And there's going to be validation for all the things that we have lived. That's our reward. It's not always coming here. You're not always going to live your best life now. I know those books about it, but it doesn't mean that's going to happen. Right? We're living for Christ now. Whatever that is, whether it's suffering, whether it's reward, whatever it is, I'm in for that. Okay? Here's what he says at the end. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. All right, can y'all say that with me? Great is the Lord. One, two, three.
Great is the Lord.
Okay, awesome. You guys cheer louder when your Starbucks thing is called. All right, come on now. All right, you're like, woo! That's my name. All right. Okay, can y'all say it like you mean it? Do we believe the Lord is great? Do we believe he's worthy of praise? Okay, so imagine that your favorite team just scored a touchdown. Okay, and how loud you would yell during that, okay? All right, we're going to say, great is the Lord. One, two, three. Great is the Lord. Awesome, that was greater. That side was a little louder, though, than this side. I'm just letting you know now, this side's pretty bold. It's the coffee, probably, kind of seeping in through on that side. Okay, but great is the Lord. This is the idea. It's Yahweh Gadol. It's like, the Lord be magnified. Great is Yahweh. We're celebrating when you leave this place. Does the world know that you think God is great? That Jesus is the bomb, right? That he is the best. And then it says this, for you, or as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You realize the Lord thinks about you? You're like, no. This is just because David was like, David, have you read the story of David? The shepherd boy who his dad didn't even think should come to the anointing party, right? Yeah, I know he killed Goliath, but he killed some other people. after Bathsheba, right? David has some sin in his life issues as well, and yet the Lord thinks about him. The Lord thinks about you. He sings over you. He's given you a new song. The Lord loves us. Not just in like, I love all y'all, like a personal, he thinks about you, he wants to listen to you, love. You are, and here's some names of God that we learn, my help. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, right? He is our deliverer, because in our sin, we deserve hell, but yet he has delivered us. And do not delay, oh my God, he is our God. He is our Lord. He is the creator of heaven and earth. That's who we worship. So I want to encourage you, when you go out into the world, have a new song. Have a joy that is contagious. Have a belief in God that makes other people look around and go, man, I don't know what that guy's on. He's on some Jesus right now. Let me go be a part of what's happening there. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this psalm that just celebrates how good you are and how much you love us. Lord, help us to trust you more even when you say no. Lord, help us to wait on you and your timing, even though we have a tendency to want to do it on our own. Lord, we love you. Help us to go into the world and proclaim how great you are. Great is the Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. What's up, Chad?
Hey, what's up, Sunshine?
How are you? You know,
that's my new nickname for you.
Is Sunshine. It? Because I'm really good at football? Like, remember the Titans?
Yeah, that's right. That's the reason why.
Okay,
you just
awesome.
Kind of brighten up the room.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Let's bring a little light to
hey,
the world.
You smell something cooking? Smell that? I smell it. Smell that food? That's for our special lunch today. Right after third service, for all our widows and widowers, we would love to honor you. So join Paul Valdez and some great people for some food and fun and fellowship today after third service.
Yep.
What else is going on?
So youth, this week is Schlitterbahn, all right? If you want to go to Schlitterbahn, you can go with us on Wednesday this week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We're going to be there when it opens. We're going to be there when it closes. But you got to sign up by tomorrow. So if you're a youth in here, I guess we can bring adults too. If you're like, yeah, let me go, all right? But you got to sign up online by tomorrow so I can make sure I have rides and enough food. So if you have a question about that, find me afterwards.
All right, and then we got our men's retreat, guys, in Marble Falls at Camp Peniel, September 30th through October 2nd. So the link was sent in the last Thursday's newsletter. We want you to sign up. We'll send you some more opportunities and reminders to sign up for that. You're welcome to bring your, if you want to bring a son with you, welcome to do that. There's some horseback riding and zip lining, but it's going to be a great time, so don't forget to sign up for that.
Awesome. Speaking of great time, our kids had a great time at camp this last week. Our preteens, about 36 of them, went to camp this last week, but when they came home, most of them were sick. And so, as a result of that, our kids' stuff for this week has been moved a week. So, MMMMM, which is Monday Morning Musical Movement Madness, some combination of those five words in some order, all right? All of those things have all been bumped 1 week. So, Vacation Bible Zoo is bumped a week. So, there's no kids' activities this week as far as the kids during they stuff. It's all been moved 1 week in advance. If you have questions, email Robert at f-pc.org, and Robert can give you any details about that, about upcoming times and things like that as well.
Yeah, so. We'll be praying for those folks who are sick. Hey, I want to close with this psalm here from where Chris preached from, Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So good to be with you guys. Have a wonderful week. You're dismissed.